I want to thank you so much for each and every person here. They're special to us in many ways, Lord, and we just want them to feel special this morning. In Jesus' name, we pray, amen. I'm used to saying good morning, good evening. You know, it's always looks the same in here all the time because it's always dark in here. So good evening, and me the first to tell you, saw me, Donna and me on the video, Merry Christmas on behalf of us, Donna and myself, and the leadership of PCC and the members of PCC. We want to tell you Merry Christmas tomorrow when it comes, actually in a few hours from now. So I know that I am the one standing between some of you, if you're Hispanic, between you and Noche Bueno, which is when you have your like big meal and all that other stuff. So, and I also know that I'm the one standing between you and finish up all the stuff that you need to do for Christmas. You're wrapping up of presents and your gifts and handing them out and all the other things that you want to do. So I'm not going to be an hour and a half today. I'm not going to be 2 hours today. I'm going to be 3 hours tonight. So just sit back and relax as we spend some time together. Actually, that's just a joke. We won't be that long tonight. Just a couple of announcements. And I want to remind you that tomorrow there is Sunday. There's no church tomorrow. We're giving you a chance to spend with your families, and we're giving our setup and teardown crew much time needed to be with their families because they're here for 2.5 hours before and about 2.5 hours after everybody. So we're not doing that tomorrow. So enjoy some time with your families. And next week, Saturday night, we'll meet again. Your program said 8, but the school had a scheduling change, and we have to move it to 7. So 7 p.m. tomorrow, next week, Saturday night, and we won't have any service here on New Year's Day either. So I want to remind you about that. Don't forget about that. Last announcement is that right outside, there's a picture booth, and we'd love to you take your photo, and we'll distribute your pictures and stuff. So go outside right after, and you'll see that. Now, if you've been here for the last few weeks, you know that we've been doing a series that we did call, the series title is called The Thrill of Hope. And it's really based on a simple premise. The premise is this, that let's see if my clicker works here. My clicker is not working here. Let's see, clicker. Well, Drew's going to do it for me. It's based on a simple premise that Jesus came into this world to bring hope so that in this life we can do more than just cope. And for many of us, we're going through life and we're just coping. And I want to tell you that Jesus came into this world to bring hope so that in this life we could do more than just cope. And so this is the last in the series that we're talking about. And you know, if you're going through some stuff right now, I want to remind you that Jesus came into this world to bring hope. So in this life, you can do more than just cope. If you just came out of some stuff, you'll know that Jesus came to bring hope. So in this life, you could do more than just cope. And if you've never been in some stuff, you're about 2 seconds away from going through some stuff. So if you are anybody and fit in any of those categories, I want to remind you that Jesus came into this world to bring hope. So that in this life, we can do more than just cope. You know, as I was sitting around and preparing for what am I going to, you know, share on Christmas Eve, the thought occurred to me that said, really, what is the significance of the Christmas story? And you know, people could like, well, they could answer it all the way. For some people, the Christmas story is a fantasy story. It's like Santa Claus and reindeers and Santa delivering gifts and coming down people's chimneys. And that sounds pretty fantasy. And the whole idea of a virgin having a baby sounds kind of fantasy also. And so for some people, it's all about the fantasy of it. And like, yeah, it's a really great fantasy. And for some people, it's really about a time that you spend with your family, and you get to hang out with your family. It's a family time, and you tell stories about Christmases past. And for other people who are a little bit more, you know, let's just say, you know, they'll say they're more enlightened. They'll say, well, it's more important than that. It's really the historical account of this man named Jesus coming into this world. And for others, they'll say, no. You see, it's more important than that. It's about God's gift of his son. And they'll say this, that the entire story, the entire Christianity is rest upon this one thing. But I'm here to tell you that's actually not true. The entire story of Jesus rests on his resurrection, because anybody who can say hey, you're going to kill me and I'm going to raise myself in 3 days. If he says, believe me, I'm going to believe him if he does it, which Jesus did. So the significance of Christmas is not about the resurrection. So what then is the significance of the Christmas story? You know, and as I think about why did God inspire two authors to write, to put everything down, and I think that the Bible tells us that no passage of Scripture is wasted. And in other words, every Scripture is given for some reason, for instruction, for teaching, understanding. And I believe the Christmas story exists for that reason. And so I was just thinking about, you know, well, am I going to speak about Mary? Am I going to speak about Joseph? Am I going to speak about Simeon? And I started looking at these stories. The one thing that became clear to me as I was going through all of this is this one statement. And Drew, you're going to have to click it for me. The next one, Jesus, God can use anyone, anything, and anytime. You see, that's not a revolutionary statement for folks, because God can use anyone, anything, and anytime. That's not revolutionary in and of itself. But the problem that most of us have is that we believe God can use somebody else, but we don't believe that God will use us. See, God, everybody was saying, well, God can do anything. He can do anything. But the question is, we always see, many times we see him doing stuff in other people, and we don't see him doing something in our situation. And you know, if you ask most people, hey, do you think you're something special? Most people would say, well, I'm all right. Most people just feel like, I'm nothing really, really, really special. I mean, there's guys who are really special. Guys like Billy Graham, those guys are special. I'm just ordinary. And most of us think of ourselves as ordinary people living ordinary lives. And so, and I'm willing to bet that if you asked, you know, if you could like transport yourself back into time and ask people who were in the original Christmas story, the Mary and the Joseph and the Zachariah and the Elizabeth, you know, if you, the day before something miraculous happened to them, if you said to them, hey, do you think you're anything special? They were like, not really. Do you believe anything's going to special happen to you? Not really. Because if you look at the cast of characters, you take Joseph, for instance. Joseph was just a carpenter. And all Joseph knew how to do was carpent. Right? So a carpenter, well, he made wood, right? So I guess that's what a carpenter does. They carpent. And so if you ask Joseph, what do you do? Joseph's like, well, that's what I do. But God used Joseph to take the story away from Mary, because if there was no Joseph, people would believe that Mary was an illegitimate mother. And so Joseph's story, even though Joseph has a minor part in the Bible, in the entire scope of the Bible, Joseph's part was minor. The reality, Joseph's part was major in Jesus' life. If you take Mary was just a farm girl. She was just a farm girl. She's about 16 or 17. And Mary was, if you asked her the day before, an angel appeared to her and said, Mary, are you anything special? She would say, not really. I believe that's what she would say. But God used Mary's story to look upon her, and he said to her, he says, Mary, you are highly favored. You are blessed. I want to tell you this morning that if you're sitting here thinking that you are nothing special, the same message to Mary is the same message to you. God is looking at you this morning and says, insert your name here. You are blessed and you are highly favored. Thank you, my sister. If you look at Zechariah was a priest who for many years prayed, and he prayed that God would give him a child. And he prayed and he prayed and prayed and no children. And his wife was past childbearing years. Menopause had already happened. And God used Zechariah's story to tell us that whenever God says something, even when it seems impossible, it is possible. And God was using Zechariah. You look at the story of John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a guy who was a weird dude. He was a very, very weird dude. He was eccentric and odd. Some people might say, you know, he was a special needs kind of dude. And God used John the Baptist to prepare the way of the Lord, to proclaim the way of the Lord. But God's story to John the Baptist is even greater than this. God was saying, says, no matter if you're eccentric, no matter if you're odd, no matter if you're special needs, no matter what you are, God can use anyone, anything, anytime. And he used the shepherds. He used the shepherds. The shepherds were just lowly farmhands, and God used the shepherds to bring and illustrate that, hey, God speaks to the common man, the lowest man. God is interested in the lowest levels of society. And he used the research scientists and the astrologers, also known as the wise men and the magi, to tell the learned people of the world that, hey, it's not all about what you read in the science textbook. There was a star, and the star literally moved, and the people followed, and people would believe them because these guys were not hocus pocus guys. They were learned men. And God used them in a special way to reach a certain segment of society that wouldn't normally be reached unless learned men were used. And the list and list and list goes on and on and on and on. And I bet you, if you ask them, each of these people, the story, what their stories at the end of the life, whereas before they would say, I'm ordinary, I'm not special in any kind of way, they would tell you two things. They look back, they'd say, one, they would say this, I didn't think God could use me, number one. And the second thing, I didn't think God would use me. I didn't think God could use me, and I didn't think God would use me. Yet, these guys are all famous, and they're famous because God used them to change the course of the world. And God used them to change the course of the world, and they would tell you that their personal story, they could personally testify that God not only can use anyone, anything, but God does use anyone, anything, anytime. But you know, I bet you, and I'm not going to do this, but I bet you if I walked around this room today, tonight, and I said to each one of you, tell me your story. Tell me your story about how God is using you right now. I'm willing to bet that not many of you could give me an answer to that question about how God is using you right now. I bet if I asked you, how is God using your prosperity? How is God using your adversity? How is God using your catastrophe? How is God using whatever it is that you're going through? How is God using that right now? I'm willing to bet that for most people, there's not really an answer to that question. Because some of us believe that God is using it, but a lot of us, we just can't see how in the world God could be using my situation for anything else other than my situation. And I think that, you know, as I think about it, I'm like, so many times you're going through stuff and I'm like struggling through it and I can't see God in this at all. But I'm here to tell you that not only can God use anyone, anything, anytime, not only does God use anyone, anything, anytime, but God will, he can, does, and he will use anyone, anything, anytime. And not only that, is God is not only can and does and will use anyone, he will use everyone, every time, and everything. And that is true even if you don't know or you can't see how. I think that's like a pretty remarkable thing that God's like, look, you need to understand that there's some things going on that you don't even understand what's going on, but I am using you even if you don't see or you can't think how in the world he's using you and your situation right now. But I want to tell you that the fact that you are alive today, the fact that you are here today, means that God is still using you to unfold his plan. See, God's plan is going to happen. God says, I have a plan. I have a plan for this world. And my plan is going to happen. And you and your situation are an important part in my plan that I have for this world. You are an important part of the plan. And it doesn't matter whether you believe it or not, you are part of the plan. It doesn't matter whether you are a believer in him or not. He says you're part of the plan. It doesn't matter whether you're a Jesus follower or not. He says you are part of my plan that I have for this world. And you cannot escape the fact that you're alive. You are part of God's plan for this world. God has big plans in unfolding the world. And here's the funny thing, though, that you may be a part of God's plan, but for many of us, God is not a part of our plan. We're a part of God's plan. That's a given. But many of us, God is not a part of our plan. And I think through a guy like Herod that Jonathan spoke about a couple weeks ago. Herod was part of God's plan to get Jesus to go to Egypt. But God was not part of Herod's plan. And you know, each one of you, each one of us, you, me, all of us, are all part of this plan. And we're part of this plan, whether or not we believe it. But there's something bigger that I want you to understand this Christmas. There's something bigger that I believe that God wants you to get this Christmas. And that bigger thing is that you matter to God. You matter to God. And that is the significance of the Christmas story. I started to ask the question, what is the significance of the Christmas story? Everything that was written down, every story that was told, every one of the cast of characters points back to the one important thing. This statement, you matter to God. You matter to God. And that is true whether you choose to believe it or not. Whether you're feeling oppressed or not, you matter to God. Whether you're feeling blessed or not, you matter to God. And God wants you to know that he promises hope to you, no matter what your situation is this Christmas. And he promises hope and excitement and the thrill that comes with that hope. And you know, but he says this promise of hope comes with one condition. And the condition is this. He says here, in Romans 8:28, he says, and we know that in all things, not just some things, but in all things, God works for the good. And he said, yeah, I know that because he's working out his plan and his plan for the world is good. And he's like, you need to understand that in all things, good, bad, indifferent, catastrophe, disaster, times of blessing, times of great prosperity, God works for the good. And he says, but you need to get this for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. You see, while you're part of his plan that's unfolding, God says, look, I want to give you hope and I want to give you joy and I want to give you the thrill of that hope, but you got to love me. You got to love me. And when you do that, I'm going to bring some joy, and I'm going to bring some peace, and I'm going to bring some excitement in your life that it's unbelievable. Because he said this, I quote it all the time because that's what our mission is based on. He says, I've come to give you life and life to the full. And so what God wants you to know is that you matter to God, and you are an important part of his plan. But he wants him to be an important part of your plan. And that's really, really the big message tonight is God wants to be a part of your plan even more than he wants you to be a part of his plan. Because you matter to God. You matter to God. And because you matter to God so much, because you matter to God so much, Jesus wants to give you true joy, true hope. And that's what he created Christmas to provide. The thrill of true joy and true hope. I'm going to ask you to just kind of just quiet your minds for a second and close your eyes. And if you are here today and you've never given Jesus a Christmas present, he's asking you for one present. And that is the gift of your life and him in control of it. And he says, if you give me that present in return, I'm going to give you joy. I'm going to give you peace. And I'm giving you the thrill of hope. If you feel the Lord speaking to you this morning, as I kind of say this prayer, I just want you to repeat it with me. And if you do that and you say that prayer, the joy and the peace and the thrill of hope will be yours because you matter to God. Let's pray. If this is your prayer, you just repeat after me. Heavenly Father, this Christmas, I want to give you my life. Lord, I want the thrill of hope. Lord, I know that you can use anyone, anything, anytime, but I want you to use me to not only be a part of your plan, but I want you to be a part of mine. Take control of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. As the praise team is coming up, I just want to share with you one more story. I shared Mary's story, and I shared Joseph's story, and a couple other guys, Zachariah's story. But the story that I want to share is this. It's Luke's story. And Luke, he had a friend named Theophilus. And Theophilus was a Roman official. And Theophilus had heard about Jesus and was around during the time of Jesus and heard a lot of things about Jesus. And he's like, he asked his friend Luke, he's like, what's going on? And so Luke said this. He said, Theophilus, I'm going to investigate this story. And Luke says this. He said, he says in Luke chapter 1, he says, I know there are a lot of writings and lots of talk about this man Jesus, but I want you to know something. I interviewed eyewitnesses. I spoke to preachers. I listened to the news report. I examined the evidence. I have personally investigated this, and I'm writing you an orderly account. And I pick up from the middle of the second chapter of his orderly account. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. The next slide. All returned to their own ancestral home to register for this census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled from the village of Nazareth into Galilee. He took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who was now expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. That night, there were shepherds in the fields nearby guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good tidings, good news that will bring great joy to all people." The significance of the story, ladies and gentlemen, is good news that will bring great joy to all people. To all the men, the women, the boys and girls, I bring you good tidings. Good news of great joy that will bring great joy to all people. Let's just rise as we sing about this good news that Jesus came to bring. Amen. I want you to say to your neighbor, God wants you to have joy.
The stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's oppression shall cease. us raise we, let all within us praise his holy. shall come to thee, O Israel. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Sing with us.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child. So tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. Noche de paz, noche de los astros que esparcen su